truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
If this goes through and passes, the United States will no longer be the same country that we were. So
if
this
you're
going
to have health insurance reform, you have to have a public option to break the stranglehold of the insurance.
I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama.
I have been contacted, yes.
And so what are they telling you? Are they there?
No, I've been contacted.
Well, let us summon a new spirit, a patriotism, a responsibility.
Things are bad.
World famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. This is the only news, talk, and entertainment show, folks, that actually knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch here, and we believe that Republicans and Democrats and conservatives and liberals are equally to blame for all of the evil in the world today, and they should only do the honorable thing, blow their brains out of their skulls. How do you feel about that one, huh?
All right! Yeah, Mr. Hendry, that's pretty good, right? I put on a bumper sticker and everything.
Thank you very much, bud. We don't need more of your commentary there. 877-876-PHIL. We began our broadcast this evening, if you've missed it, and you can see it on philhendryshow.com, which is our website. You can watch our show. We are on live streaming video, and the quality of our live streaming video is pretty damn good, man, which means you see me in all of, well, it ain't too pretty that way. But nonetheless, you can also hear our audio and you can download our audio. And we began our show this evening by being very clear. This program went on the air in June of 2007, basically saying, I'm not an independent, folks. Please don't think that that's where this is at, okay? I'm not Mr. Independent. I would rather die of cancer. I'd rather die of a virulently metastasizing brain tumor than be called an independent. And the same goes for being a liberal or a conservative or any of that stuff. Does it mean I don't have a political point of view? No, it doesn't mean that at all. What it means is, by labeling myself any one of those things, I no longer am responsible for arguing my position. I can just say, here's the club that I'm in, and this is what I believe, and I can mouth a lot of horse dung that I heard my favorite TV talk show host or radio talk show host tell me to mouth on the show today, and then I can go home, and I can sound just as stupid as them. The problem is, they're rich. I'm not. They know that they're telling you nothing but fairy tales. They make money doing it. What are we left with? If you buy the swill that Ed Schultz is pitching you, or Glenn Beck, or Sean Hannity, or what's that ass, that Keith Olbermann, if you buy that and you go out into the world and you repeat it, they don't care whether you get your ass razored up someplace because you don't know what you're talking about. They already made their money, which, by the way, we have a small, and I got to thank my producer, Jason Rantz. You know, it's pretty easy to know why it is Olbermann gets his ass kicked by O'Reilly. And the reason why we bring this up is because Olbermann hates O'Reilly. And why does he hate O'Reilly? Because O'Reilly's wealthy and Olbermann isn't. O'Reilly has viewers, Olbermann doesn't. You know why? Because O'Reilly doesn't mind putting people on his show, Keith, that disagree with him. You, on the other hand, you're scared to death. You're scared to the point of diarrhea. You won't put anybody on your show except cats that sit there and agree with you, man. That doesn't make for interesting television. Looking at your ugly face, looking at your kisser, that if we took the glasses off and we put a Charlie Chaplin mustache on you, you'd look like Adolf Hitler's twin. Looking at your face isn't interesting, man. You got to get something going, baby. Let's go, huh? All right, we're going to kick off here tonight with a story about school, and more to the point, a story, and by the way, again, our number, 877-876-PHIL. We'll get to your phone calls here in a few minutes on the show, but a couple of stories here having to do with schools and how schools handle kids and how, you know, how children are taught. Now, this is a very, very interesting story, and I have to agree, going in, I got to tell you, I agree with the parents here. Now, if you've followed this show for any length of time, you know that when it comes to schools and parents, on this show, schools win. Parents don't win. Why? Is it because I'm, you know, I got like a political point of view? I'm a liberal that's in favor of the whole education thang? Is that what it is? No, I'll tell you what it is. I'm in favor of professionals, not the non-professional. I'm in favor of people that know what they're doing, not people that may not know what they're doing. I'm in favor of individuals who have the education to understand what it takes to educate a child, not necessarily a couple of parents who, forgive me, in some instances, the only talent they have in this world was making a kid, and beyond that, they wouldn't know what to do with a kid any more than they'd know what to do with their own genitals beyond, you know, doing what they did with them in the first place to make the kid. which means there's a whole lot of constipation going on in those families, if you take my meaning. Now, a school principal has apologized for showing a video at an assembly that a politically conservative group leader is calling radical leftist propaganda. Ordinarily, I would say to this conservative group, why don't you go find something to do? Why don't you have a bake sale or wash some cars? You are boring. However, this conservative group may have a point. Now listen, children at Eagle Bay Elementary School in Farmington, where the hell is this, man? Salt Lake City? Okay, this is in Utah. Children at Eagle Bay Elementary School in Farmington were shown a short video called I Pledge on August 28th. The video opens with an image of President Barack Obama and a part of a speech in which he says, quote, let us summon a new spirit of patriotism, of responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder and look after not only ourselves, but each other. That's not a bad sentiment, and I think that's the kind of thing that presidents say. All right. This is a video, by the way, that was not produced by President Obama. It was produced by some group of jackholes. I don't know. Here it is. Some group of jackholes, Hollywood, California. Great, thank you. And then it goes on. The video then features celebrities making pledges about how they'll help the president and the world, and that's where some say the problem lies. Not because they're celebrities, although I have to tell you, and you probably can guess, are we about done with that? Can we maybe sort of move past having Ashton Kutcher sit there with that smug kisser and telling us how great life is because he married a rich actress? Or I know you've done some great things too, Ashton. I'm sorry. But, you know, do I got to listen to him tell me, what do I got to do again? Get a less of a light bulb and boil my tea less or some jazz. Many pledges, such as supporting local food banks, smiling more, and caring for the elderly are non-controversial, but other pledges, such as to sell my obnoxious car and buy a hybrid, and to advance stem cell research, cross the line, according to this group. Gail Ruzicka, who is president of the conservative Utah Eagle Forum, said the video was blatantly political. She said other offensive pledges included, I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama. I got to tell you, that one bugs me, too. What is that about? Where are you people coming from? Even Obama's embarrassed by that. Do you understand, you simple-minded jackasses? What is this, I pledge my service to Obama? That's not what this is about. It's about getting the country going. All of a sudden, Barack Obama is Adolf Hitler or something, you know? He's dear leader. It's to mein Kind. Pledge of allegiance to Barack Obama, Jack. This is not black shirt Italy, man. This is America, okay? He's a president. They come and they go, man. They come and they go. Presidents are in and out, man, like dirty underwear, you know? Bang, out the door, new president. I pledge allegiance to the funk, to the United Funk of Funkadelica, and pledges to not... Who said that? And pledges to not...
Gotta be a black guy.
Yeah, probably is. Anyway, and pledges to not use plastic grocery bags and not flush the toilet after urinating. All right. So, in other words, it's very hip, you know, and, well, that's cool, and there ain't nothing wrong with a bunch of lame asses sitting there and telling you to pledge allegiance to the greater glory of Mein Fuhrer. Funkadelica from Red Hot Chili Peppers lead singer Anthony Jackass. Okay, here is now... some of this stuff. This is how the video opens. It features a speech from President Obama and a number of celebrities pledging various things.
So let us summon a new spirit, a patriotism, a responsibility, where each of us resolves to pitch in and work harder and look after not only ourselves, but each other.
I pledge to help end hunger in America.
By supporting Feeding America and our local food bank.
I pledge.
To smile more. To laugh more.
She had to really think. Did people say about smile? Yeah, you better do it. I pledge to frown. Well, that's not good. Okay. I pledge to feed hungry people. All right, that's good. Yeah. All right, next. Thank you, Ms. Hudson. All right, now we have celebrities pledging various eco-friendly actions. Here again, this may not be all that bad.
I pledge to reduce my use of plastic
starting
with using less bottled water.
Well, if you want to reduce your use of plastic, how about you, no more boob jobs? Anyway.
I pledge
to reduce my use of plastic
by starting with using less bottled water.
No more collagen shots?
I pledge
to reduce my use of plastic
by starting with using less bottled water.
to plant 500 trees this year to help our planet.
Okay.
To be more green. To no longer use the plastic bags at the grocery store.
To smoke
to
more
consume
dope.
Consume less and cultivate more.
So that we are on this planet forever.
For the environment, I pledge to flush only after a deuce, never a sink.
A deuce. Only after a douche? Dude.
No, he said deuce. No, I didn't, man.
No, I think he said douche. How does a guy... That's sick. All right, so those are... Okay, now here we get into the stuff that gets a little creepy. And this is the video ends with celebrities pledging to be a servant to President Obama. And that's what these cats are upset about.
I pledge to be of service to Barack Obama.
Sieg Heil.
I pledge
to change how I live.
To be a better person.
No
to
more
never
drugs.
Stop learning and growing each and every day.
Every day. To be the change.
Imagine what could happen next.
What's your pledge?
What's your pledge?
I know you got a pledge. What's your pledge?
Stop
you
going to movies. I ain't going to movies
What's
anymore.
Your pledge?
I pledge
to be a servant to our president.
And all mankind.
Okay. Now, that is highly political. That is almost like propagandistic. That, in other words, what that does, and if you're a progressive and you're a fan of President Obama, or you're like me, you're non-aligned and you're a fan of President Obama's, that's an embarrassment, and it also doesn't belong in a film for kids, because we don't want kids to be a servant to anybody. We want kids to do the right thing for their country. We want kids to be loyal to our Constitution, to pledge allegiance to our country. It doesn't mean you have to be some goose-stepping, jingoistic nationalist. It means that you love America. Pledging service to an individual, that's not America. We don't pledge service to nobody. We pledge to our country. That's about as good as it's going to get, okay? You want to be president of the United States? People may admire you. People may vote for you. People may say after you're long gone, boy, that was a great president. He was a hell of a guy, and she was a hell of a woman, and they did great stuff. And boy, you know, but nobody says in America, as opposed to, let's say, fascist Italy, goose-stepping Germany, North Korea, those whatever the hell you call them in Iran, or anywhere else, nobody says I pledge allegiance to an individual. Why am I making this point? Very simply this. It's being presented to kids in a school. And so I believe that the Eagle Forum is correct. I don't know what their intentions are. Maybe if they said I pledge allegiance to John McCain if he were president, they wouldn't have a problem. I most certainly, in fact, believe that they wouldn't have a problem. They wouldn't say anything because they wouldn't think that they were being supportive of the party, you know. See, we need more people with guts. We need Democrats to speak out against this kind of rhetoric. We need Democrats to speak out against this kind of goose-stepping propaganda, okay? Democrats, liberals, progressives. What do you mean I pledge service to Barack Obama? I think he's a great president. I think he's got the makings of a great president. Let me put it that way. I wouldn't pledge service to him any more than I pledge service to anybody. Well...
Yeah, if you had a wife, then you probably would to her, wouldn't you?
Are you a retard or something, man?
Come on, man. I'll give you another Yoo-hoo, man. Come on. I don't want a Yoo-hoo.
Get him something to drink. So in our country, that's not what we teach our kids, as opposed to all the other fascist and communistic and national socialist dung heaps that have existed down through time. Do you understand where we live, America? Somebody better clue some of these jackasses in. I got no problem with celebrities at all. I get tired of listening to them with their political pitch, but hey, whatever. You know, it's like Bruce Springsteen said, hey, how come farmers, they have a lobby? Why can't musicians? Oh, okay. Like you cats need a lobby. Nonetheless, you can say what you want, man, but this is an unhealthy message, and I'm glad the school principal apologized and then urinated on the video. So that's fantastic. Thank you very much. Hey. All right, our number 877-876-PHIL. A school says they want their students' MySpace and Facebook passwords. 877-876-PHIL. Where do you think I stand on that one? A school wants their students' MySpace and Facebook passwords. Let's talk about that when we come back in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
All right, one more school thing here. I really like these stories about school because I just a moment ago, you know, we were talking about the The film that was shown these kids in Salt Lake City or around Salt Lake City, the high school, or I think it was a high school or middle school, saying, you know, pledge service to Barack Obama. There was another one in there where the guy said, you know, junk my clunker and buy a hybrid. Yeah, okay, fine, man. You know, I let all that stuff pass, man. I let all that global warming stuff pass because, you know, we've talked an awful lot on this show. You talk about not getting the message out. You talk about not being clear. The global warming, those who believe in global warming as a man-made condition, which I'm sure, you know, I have no doubt that the weather is shifting and changing. They have not explained to people clearly why they believe what they believe. It may be just as clear as the azure skies at dawn, to quote, you know, that kid from Clockwork Orange. It may be just as clear as crystal. They may be able to see it just as, for all that it is, just a terrible, terrible thing awaiting us, and we must act now. They've got to communicate why to us. You can't sit there and tell me that this is a fact. And you can't, we're not going to debate it. I had two guys on my show, and I got to be honest with you. The guy that advocated global warming as man-made, and the guy that said it wasn't came up with the science, and the guy that said that it was simply saying stuff we had to do. It was the poorest showing, and both of these men were eminent in their fields, both of them. And it was the poorest showing that anybody advocating the idea that global warming is a man-made condition had ever presented. It was as if this guy was treating everybody listening to him as a raving nincompoop, as an imbecile, as a mouth breather who all you had to do was say, you, Igor, go up, turn windmill, you know, and that's what we're going to do. Don't treat people stupid. You want to know why people don't understand healthcare, global warming, anything else? If you are an advocate for a position, it is not, yes, of course, you hope that I get educated, and it is the Phil Hendry Show's stated philosophy, nobody's going to tell you, you're going to have to get the information yourself. But barring that, individuals that say this is a fact and we got to do something about it, you better get out in front, man, and explain why it is. Now, we have this story, and some people may say, well then, Phil, you are against, you're in favor of parents doing their thing and allowing their kids to do what they want, and the school should butt out. No, I'm not, you see. Like we say on the show, we take it case by case. Here's an example in North Augusta, South Carolina. Does a school have a right to demand access to your child's Facebook or MySpace account? That's the question some local parents are asking. School leaders say it's all about making sure the students adhere to the school policies, and they claim it's not an invasion of privacy. Dr. Edward Martin is the principal at Victory Christian School. This is a private school. A private school in North Augusta, South Carolina, he says all students are required to follow their biblical curriculum. It's compliance to a new school policy that's turning some heads. If an administrator suspects a student of unruly behavior, that student could be required to give school leaders their password and username to their Facebook or MySpace account. Now, why is this story important? Number one, it's a private school. So guess what, Mom and Dad? Take your brat out and stick him in a public school if you don't like the rules. Period. But if you need another reason, number two, they're minors, which means as minors, they do not have unlimited access to the marvelous world at large. They don't. Minors have no reasonable expectation of privacy in their own homes, for instance. They have no reasonable expectation of privacy in the school. Their lockers can be gone into and looked through and searched. And so in the opinion of this radio show, so is the case with MySpace and Facebook accounts. What are we talking about? First of all, we're talking about protecting kids. We're talking about educating kids. And in that protection and in that education, we're trying to make them better students and better citizens. And if children are allowed access to a service that is worldwide and they are not monitored, they are not in any way, shape, or form held to some kind of a standard, and the school has to deal with this when they come to the school the next day after they were out doing whatever the hell they were doing on their MySpace and their Facebook accounts, the school is going to be bearing the brunt as well as the parents. What the parents are saying is this: my kid can act any way he wants outside of the school in all kinds of vicious and nasty and stupid ways, and even if it affects their behavior at school, you got no right to say anything about it. Well, even if it was a public school, I'd say the school had the right. Even if it was a public school. In this case, it's a private school. Here is Dr. Edward Martin explaining the impetus for the policy.
Several years ago, we had a student with MySpace, and he was bragging about the alcohol that he drank on the weekends. He was telling everybody he went to our school. We're looking, again, for families that agree with this philosophy, and if they don't, that's fine. There's plenty of schools they can choose to go to.
And the guy's absolutely right. Take your kid out, stick him in a public school. Do you think you're going to like it any better, man? As a matter of fact, you'd probably be demanding that they give up their passwords and their usernames. All right, coming back, Diane Sawyer scores the anchor chair, sober, I hope, at ABC. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
Phil, world famous Phil Hendry Show. We got Diane Sawyer taking over for Charles Gibson. He's retiring. Diane's stepping in, and that I'm sure is going to be great news to a great many of Diane Sawyer's fans. Now let's go over here to I believe it's Esme. Is that right? Esme in Los Angeles. What's on your mind tonight, Esme?
That was perfect. My name. Hi, Phil. I had to call, and when I heard that you were talking about educators and the need for parents to be involved, and I couldn't disagree with you more on your position about the last segment that you were talking about, the school that thinks that it's appropriate to ask students for their MySpace and Facebook passwords. And I mean, the guy that you had, the clip that you had the justification that he used for asking for the students was not to protect the students, some student was drinking and then telling everyone, yeah, I drank, you know, this many beers this weekend and I go to this school. It was to protect the image of his school.
Basically he said that, though, is they wanted to monitor the habits of these children because they are not conducting themselves in the biblical fashion that the school wants them to.
I understand that's what he said, but he revealed his true motive when he said, you know, he was mentioning the name of the school. I mean, anyway, you said that you would advocate public schools also taking this practice on. Okay, are we supposed to now pay people to read all of the Facebook pages and monitor all of, I mean, at what point are the parents allowed to parent and educators allowed to educate? I mean,
let me ask you a question. When the parents don't parent, who is responsible? It's a simple question. When the parents don't parent and a child is involved in a activity on MySpace or Facebook that is injurious to that child, is potentially injurious to someone else, is threatening somebody, is threatening death to somebody, these things have happened, and the parents are not parenting and claiming privacy, what is a school supposed to do?
Okay, if it's affecting that child or that student's
do you not believe that a child threatening death or being threatened is not something that the school... Do you not believe that a child who is either being threatened with death or is threatening death or other illegal activity or is engaged in slandering in a very vicious way other people, you don't think that this isn't affecting that child? This is a part of their personality that needs to be looked at.
Okay, educators are not policemen and they're not parents. They're educators. It's a very distinct line. And I think
so what do they do when the parents don't parent?
Okay, that's a what if that I know it happens.
I'll give you an example, ma'am. I mean, we've got it right now. A what if? What about Columbine? Here's a what if for you. A guy's got a bomb in his bedroom, and the parents don't care. What if?
Well, that's what I'm saying is if you're asking.
What's the school to do then when a kid's got a bomb in his bedroom and the parents are too stupid to look at the kid's bedroom?
Educators are having a hard enough time educating. And now you're asking...
No, I asked you a pretty interesting... You're asking me for a what-if. I'll give you the biggest what-if of the last decade, of the last 20 years, Columbine. The kid had a bomb in his closet, and the parents couldn't care less.
I know. It is tragic. That's such a unique and specific...
Unique? We have got children that are schizophrenic. They are psychotic. They are psychopathic. We've got children at risk. And it isn't about whether they've got guns. It's not about whether they have bombs. It is their behavior that we have to look at. And some of these parents, as I said, you know this, Esme, you're probably a very fine mother yourself. Some of these parents aren't qualified to have parakeets, let alone children. Where does that put the school?
No, but I do agree with you that the majority of schools are having to deal with kids who aren't being parented properly, but we should demand more of the parents, not more of the schools. The schools.
How would you do that?
That's what I'm saying. Oh, by the way, I just wanted to comment. Thank you so much, though. I really appreciate these two stories. They actually really they were very evocative for me. But the previous segment that you were talking about, that I have a hard time defending that video. I think that video is disturbing. At the very least, it is. I love that you alluded to Hitler's, you know, youth, because it sounded just so propagandistic. Did the video really say I pledge my
service to Barack Obama? It's like a joke.
But I still think that in you know, when you have that type of the principal or whatever, the teacher that showed that video to the kids, if the parents who were offended by that video spent the time, instead of going to the schools and you know, with their pitchforks and their, you know, the fire on the sticks or whatever, and instead sat their kids down and talked to them about how they disagreed with the message that video sent, and had a conversation with their kid, that would be like infinitely more valuable to the child than the time they spent.
No, I disagree. I disagree. I mean, look. Okay. I just disagree. I know you have a philosophy which is parents, 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 and the school is sort of secondary. I try to take it issue by issue. In one case, I do agree with the school. In the other case, I would agree with the parents. And that is, this guy made a mistake. It was a mistake. Nobody's trying to tell him what kind of books to have in the school or whether we're teaching evolution or whether we're teaching. Right. It's just, come on, Charlie. I mean, this is obvious. Pledge allegiance to Barack Obama. Next thing, we're going to have Kim Jong-il up there with his processed pompadour and his high heels. Anyway, Esme, thank you very much. Great call. I appreciate it. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Margaret, listening to us in the car in Santa Monica. Margaret, what's up?
Thank you very much, Phil. And as a matter of fact, my husband and I are coming back from a very interesting talk given by Rollo Birch, who is our assemblyman here in Santa Monica, on the Obama health care plan. And I want to switch gears, if I could, Phil. I know you were talking about the schools and some of these propaganda videos or so on. I don't know. But I want to change gears, if I could switch gears from you know how they say switch gears from first to like third gear or something?
Yeah, you want to change the topic, right?
Yeah, In other words, I want to change gears.
But you don't go from first to third, just in case.
Well, I don't drive a manual transmission.
Well, I know. If you did drive a manual, you don't go to. Anyway, what would you like to say?
Well, I want to switch gears, is what I want to say. I don't know whether you go first or third.
You go from first to second.
All right. I'm sorry. I'm a little put off by the way that you respond to that.
Oh, get to it, will you?
I will, Frank.
Well, I'm sorry if you brought up changing gears.
I want to change gears.
All right, let's change gears then.
You don't have to tell me first to third. I understand.
All right, you want to change gears to what?
I want to change gears to a faster speed.
Do you want to talk about something else?
Yes, I do. Thank you for your being polite. I want to talk about the man that you had on your program not too long ago. I think it was a couple of hours ago. This man was opposed to health care, and he used an image that was patently offensive to me and to just about every woman listening. He said that those who supported the Obama health care plan... I'm sorry, Phil, but we had spring rolls at the Rollo Kirk appearance.
All right, I okay.
I'm sorry.
All right, but it sounded a little loud.
I apologize. He said, this man that you had on, said that those who supported Barack Obama's health care plan wanted the big, and I think I'm quoting directly, Frank, you have the quote?
Yeah, I wanted a nipple.
They want the big federal nipple inches from their lips so that all they have to do is pooch out their lips and go, like that. Do you remember what that man said?
I do remember the comment. I do remember it. I thought it was a little crude.
Well, it was patently anti-feminine, patently anti-woman. It was anti-feminist and pro-chauvinist. What he was saying essentially was, I believe it was sexist on the level of attacking women who've had children. We give life, and we give life to babies, and we raise them up to be adults, and we sacrifice our bodies. And to mock women whose breasts have unfortunately sagged to the point where you could be standing near a bassinet and the baby would just have to go and reach the nipple, I think, is so offensive.
No, wait, I didn't hear him saying any of that.
You didn't hear him saying that people who want national health care want the federal nipple an inch away. Basically, what he's saying is that the federal government is like a woman who's lost her shape.
And no, I didn't hear. No, if that's what you heard, and I agree, then I apologize even more so for the I didn't hear that. I heard him say that.
Well, what do you think the nipple was attached to?
It could have been a baby bottle. Okay.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah. Okay. It was a man making the point. It sounded like a very southern man, and so I don't doubt that the imagery was very sexist in nature. And to mock women who have lost their shape to the point where they could be standing with their backs erect and still nurse a child laying in a bassinet 4 feet below them is so offensive to...
Well, no, Margaret, hold on for a minute. I didn't hear that. I heard him say...
Very offensive.
No, I heard him say, if you're talking about a nursing mother, then maybe she's bending over. I didn't get that.
Bending? Oh, no. Bending over, I don't understand.
But I didn't get the image that there's a woman standing with her back straight and she's still nursing a kid.
Did the man say the nipple is inches within the baby's mouth?
He said that people that want national health care want the big federal nipple just inches from their lips so they can go like that and nurse.
Yes. How else does that happen unless the mother has lost so much of her shape? Forgive me for saying this, Phil, but they're hitting her kneecaps. All right, I said it, Frank.
Oh, for God's sake. Margaret, that's...
Margaret, that was not necessary.
I'm very sorry, Phil. He's always doing that.
Frank, my husband suffers from gender confusion. He calls me he, and he'll probably call you she.
Okay, I don't know what that's got to do with anything.
Well, it has to do with a national health care plan that can rid my husband of the syphilis that has affected his brain since 1975 and has caused him gender confusion. Frank, what do you think of the talk show host that's on right now?
I think she's great.
Point made.
He said she because he thinks I'm a she.
No, he knows that you're a he, but he calls those who are he, she. Frank, tell me in the third person what you think of me.
In the third person?
Yes.
I think he's a wonderful wife.
Yeah. He's a wonderful wife. Do we need health care? Hello? Yes. Do we need health care for a syphilitic old man? Yes. Do we need health care for a syphilitic rich old man? Yes. But we don't need nursing mothers mocked by saying all they have to do is stand near a bassinet, even if they're on a ladder. And that's what I find very offensive.
Oh, he didn't say on a ladder. He wasn't even referencing nursing mothers. He was saying that the national health care plan was like a big federal nipple. It could have been a bottle. It could have been anything.
Well, Mr. Hendry, not all men are as asexual as you. And
oh, asexual am I?
I don't mean that as a slam, but every real man... When he heard that, all he could think of was Granny Mae, really.
Yeah, well, you know, hitting the kneecap.
Thank you very much.
Well, that's very rude of you to...
877-876-PHIL. Unbelievable, that woman.
Well, essentially, her point was a very good one in that she said that the nipple of the federal nipple.
You know what, but every time you try to sound smart, you just sound dumb.
I heard that, man. What do you mean in the sense of a federal nipple? Did you hear her talk about a federal nipple or no? Yeah, I did, man. I didn't hear no... Get out of here, man. Only Mr. Henry can tell me to get out of here.
Get out of here, bud.
Okay.
877-876-PHIL. Coming up next, the stories we couldn't get to. Thank God they're here.
Very, very sexist and ageist. By the way, did you know that Lionel's eyes are crossed?
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Time now for the stories that we couldn't get to here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Charles Gibson, who has served as anchor of World News Tonight since May of 2006, has announced this morning, Charles Gibson has announced that he will step down from the post at the end of this year and retire from full-time employment at ABC News. Good Morning America anchor Diane Sawyer, age 63, will serve as the next World News anchor beginning in January. They gave Diane Sawyer's age first, then they tell you that Gibson's 66. What a slam. Anyway, quote, "It has not been an easy decision to make," Gibson said. "However, ABC helped me by firing me." No, he didn't say that. I'm sorry. Gibson, age 66, said this in an email to the World News staff. "This has been my professional home for almost 35 years. Please do not leak this to the media." And they promptly did. "And I love this news department and all who work in it to the depths of my soul." ABC News President David Weston laughed when he heard that and then said that he and Gibson have been talking about the decision for several weeks and that Gibson, quote, "has persuaded me that this is both what he wants and what is best for him." Oh, okay. Weston also announced Sawyer's move to World News. "Diane Sawyer is the right person to succeed Charlie and we'll just forget about what happened on New Year's morning," said Weston. And she can build on what he has accomplished, ABC News' Weston said in a statement. "She has an outstanding and varied career in television journalism, beginning with her role as a State Department correspondent, continuing at 60 Minutes, Primetime Live, and most recently coming on drunk on the air on New Year's morning on Good Morning America." Weston noted that Gibson has cleaned up her act since then and came to lead World News after a difficult and turbulent time following the death of anchor Peter Jennings, the injury of World News co-anchor Bob Woodruff by a roadside bomb, and, of course, Diane Sawyer getting out of rehab right after that appearance on Good Morning America on January the 1st, 2009. Anyway, with Sawyer's new role, two of the three major networks' evening news broadcasts will be anchored by females. Wow, a first in television history. Let's go back now to that time whenever that was. Yeah, it was New Year's morning, 2009, when Diane Sawyer hit the air and said...
"It's been long hours here, long hours here."
"Interrupting my compliment."
Oh, thank you. That's what was that compliment?
"You looked absolutely beautiful."
"Advice for the new president from some teeny citizens."
"3 days.
And the boots to go along with
the boots
it.
Are good. I took off my socks and my..."
Wow. "Very chic and functional. I love it."
"Chic and chic functional.
And functional. Chic and functional. Yeah. First moments of the presidency." right there.
Everybody, it is back to work here in D.C.
Yes, the kids, of course.
No. Oh, that's right.
They're off school today. And I know, Sam and Chris, you both know that they had the scavenger hunt last night and they got to open a door and the Jonas Brothers were there. That may be the only thing you remember.
Wow. Okay. Anyway, Diane Sawyer will be anchoring World News. Now, on to other news. In Frederick, Maryland, authorities in Frederick County, Maryland, say a 52-year-old man was arrested after he allegedly tried to pay for gas with marijuana instead of cash. What's wrong with that? Oh, yeah. Anyway, too bad I wasn't working at the gas station. I would have turned him in. Frederick County Sheriff's deputies say it happened at the Classic Fuel store on Old National Pike in New Market, Maryland, on Sunday afternoon around 3 p.m. They say a 52-year-old guy by the name of James T. Hart of Frederick offered the store clerk marijuana in lieu of cash to pay for his gas. The store employee refused and immediately called deputies to investigate. What a dumbass. When they arrived, authorities found what they believed to be cocaine, marijuana, and OxyContin in the possession of James T. Hart. Hart was charged with possession of cocaine, possession of marijuana, possession of drug paraphernalia, but not in possession of his wits, obviously. In Trenton, Michigan, a Michigan church is enlisting Satan in a bid to drum up attendance at services. Now, this is a great idea. Metro South Church in the Detroit suburb of Trenton is posting signs saying the non-denominational Christian congregation, quote, "sucks," end of quote, and "makes me sick." The ads are signed by Satan. The campaign even has a website explaining why Satan hates the church. Youth pastor Adam Dorbin told WJBK Television the church is trying to reach out to people and cut through the noise. Dorbin said Jesus wants us to be creative and he wants us to use whatever it takes to reach people. Pastor Jeremy Sashow said the campaign is, by the way, Jeremy Sashow is Jewish. Anyway, he said the campaign is meant to be whimsical and isn't intended to upset anybody. I don't see how anybody could be upset with that. It's very creative. Good job, you young people. A woman in New Zealand was reportedly awarded $17,000 for wrongful termination after she was fired for using bold uppercase letters in an email to coworkers. Vicky Walker used a variety of bold, red, and all-capped fonts when she gave colleagues detailed instructions on how to properly fill out forms, according to My Fox New York. To ensure your staff claim is processed and paid, please do follow the below checklist, the email stated. The company deemed the capital letters confrontational and fired her without warning in December of 2007. Walker said she was forced into much debt over the past 2 years, including a second mortgage on her house. She was awarded $17,000 for lost wages and unspecified harm in wrongful termination. Wow, that's... I mean, I'm glad she won, because that is a little jive-ass. Anyway, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director, of course, is Ralph Rodriguez. We hope you join us on our website, philhendryshow.com, until, well, later on tonight or tomorrow morning from El Pacifico, the very pleasant good morning to you.
Phil Hendry.